I want to talk to you from the subject, signs that pertain to our time, part two. Signs that pertain to our time, part two. On last Sunday, we discussed solar eclipse, or what they're calling now, beforehand, the Great American Eclipse. And we discussed in somewhat detail and so on and so forth. And, one of the questions we said, is this a sign? I emphatically said, yes, it is. And, I don't have a problem with that. But, the implication when people are usually saying, is something a sign? When you get on the highway and you see a sign, it's a sign. That don't mean that's your destination. It's a sign. Every sign is not for you to turn off because you see a sign. So, but when you look in social media and all of these things, people are asking, oh, is this a sign? Yes, it's a sign. Amen. But now, what does it mean? That's where we really get to. So I'm going to talk about a couple things today. And some of them may be a little shocking for you. But I want to make this disclaimer. I am not an astronomer. Okay? I am not into the stars. I'm saying all of this so you, I'm not trying to be some authority on this. But now, when we get to the scriptures, it's a little different. I'm not saying that I'm an authority there, but I know a little bit more about the scriptures than I do about the stars. Okay? So I'm going to share with you a little bit from the scriptures. Genesis chapter 1. Let's set our base again. Genesis chapter 1, verse 14. And God said, now who said this? Okay, just making sure we understand. This ain't NASA. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. So God said this. He has not changed that. He said it, and he meant that. Let me share something with you. This is my first point. God has the whole world looking up. God has the whole world looking up. Most of us, in the course of our daily lives, we put our hand to the grindstone, if you will. We're doing our thing, James. We're wide open. Trying to survive, trying to do what we need to do. But isn't it amazing? God has the whole world looking up now. People's taking off their job. I was over here Monday for the eclipse. I mean, I was over here at the church. I went outside, and I look, and there's folks coming out of their businesses, their jobs. I look, and the folk wrapped around the library over here. God has the whole world looking up. People are, I know Charity had told us that the university, they had all of the kids out in an area to see the eclipse. God has the whole world looking up. I know you say, well, Pastor, what are you saying? Let's look at something. Luke chapter 21, verse 7. Luke chapter 21, verse 7. And they asked him, saying, Master, but when shall these things be? And what sign will there be when these things shall come to pass? Now, I want to make a quick reference to Matthew chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. I believe we talked about that with the Pharisees and the Sadducees when they inquired, asking Jesus about a sign. They tempted him. It was a provocation. They were trying to provoke him. It wasn't a real request to know what was going on. They wanted to literally, it was a wicked intention behind it. So now here are the disciples who are asking Jesus, who really won't have a heart to know. And now, if the amazing thing, he says to the Sadducees and the Pharisees, you only get this, the sign of Jonah. But now he gives a full discourse to the disciples. I just wanted to make note of that. Because the intent is different. Verse 8, and he said, take heed that you be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. First thing, don't follow all of these folks that think they're the Messiah. Okay? But when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified. Now, I'm loving this because Jesus says, when you see all of this stuff breaking out, when you hear about wars and all of this, don't be afraid. Guess what the rest of the world is? So as a believer, he's telling you not to be afraid. Now, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. Jesus said, listen, this is, now, people are like, you know what? When we go to the World War III, that's the end. I guarantee you World War III is not the end. You know why? Because every time we get in a war, that ain't what he says is the end. He said, don't be terrified. This stuff got to happen. Well, what are we going to do about North Korea? Did you see they just shot them 3 missiles? Well, first off, 2 of them didn't make it. So let's talk about the one that did. Oh, you know, they already threatening Guam. That's going to be it. No, it's not. Not according to what Jesus say, and I trust his word. Amen. Not everybody else is on the internet, okay? That's right. I'm just trying to help us here. Because like I said, my point is, God has the whole world looking up. Look at this, verse 9. But when you shall hear wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. Then said he unto them, nation shall rise against nation. Now that is a Greek word, ethnos, where we get the word ethnic. So he's saying ethnic group shall rise against ethnic group. Charlottesville, maybe? You know, I'm really shocked because I didn't realize, I guess I hadn't been watching the news. I didn't realize what the commotion was over. All of the commotion is over statues that have been here hundreds of years. Are you serious? Well, not hundreds of years, but I'm just, I'm like, really? Really, that's it? I'm just asking this. When you pull the statue down, what changes? So we going to fight because the statue up? Really? Because if you don't change people's heart, the statue don't matter. And the only thing that changes hearts is the gospel. Well, Pastor, you think that they should leave the statue up? It wasn't making no difference to me when the statue was up. It really wasn't. You're going to do what you're going to do anyway. But to see people getting killed over a statue, that's a problem. Well, some of y'all, I tell some of y'all don't like that, but hey, I'm just telling you, this is just me. I don't see the point. I don't. Well, that represents something. Represents what? Do you know most people don't know history? They're having a problem right now with people understanding what took place in the 200 years that the United States has been here. So what is it representing really? Okay, verse 10. Then said he unto them, nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And great earthquakes shall be in divers places and famines and pestilences. And fearful sights and great signs shall there be from where?
And fearful sights and great signs shall there be from where?
Heaven.
Okay, just make sure we understand. This is part of what Jesus said was going to happen.
Amen.
And the signs are going to come from heaven. So that means we can't be looking down here. So God's going to have to do something. Oh, okay, I'm just making sure we understand. Listen to this. It is reported that over 100 million people watch the eclipse. 40 million people viewed it live. So 40 million people either standing outside or in front of their computer watching NASA live. 40 million. Are y'all understanding this? God has the whole world looking up. Luke chapter 21, verse 28 says this. And when these things begin to come to pass, are you with me? Look up and lift up your heads. Why? For your redemption draweth now. In other words, this ain't for all us to freak out on. The signs are just letting us know we're getting closer to our destination. Okay? Now, after saying that, I'm going to deal with one of the most talked about things on the internet now. I shared this with you all, I think, back in January. It was one of the, it's one of the top five. I think in January, it was the top one. The top one thing that was on Google, everybody's Googling it, and it's talking about the Revelation chapter 12 sign or supposed sign. So let me deal with that because I'm going to hit this and we're going to keep moving, okay?
Amen.
So before I get to that, let me deal with something else, though. We got to deal with some questions. Here's my point number two. So now point number one, God has the whole world looking up. My point number two, should Christians even be concerned with the heavens? Should Christians even be concerned with the heavens? I mean, Katie, ain't we got enough going on in life? You know, you got to look and see what's going on in the heavens. We got enough going on. Tough stuff's happening, you know. Should we even be worrying about that? What reference is that? Because, because some of us are sitting here and says, that's the devil. It's astrology and all of that stuff. It's my horoscope. What's wrong with him? He done lost his mind. Preaching heresy in the house of God. Job chapter 38, verse 31. Job chapter 38, verse 31. Because see, there's a lot of stuff we don't understand. Job has been, if you read the previous chapters, you know Job has had some things happen in his life. And at this particular point, Job has been waiting for his time to appear before God to straighten stuff out. You know how we get like, you know, you hear people like, I'm going to tell God so and so. I just, you know, when I hear people say that, I say, do they get it? What's he going to tell God? Well, Job was just like some of us. He had his feel of life. I don't lost my kids. I don't lost my finances. You know, my future is in jeopardy. My body's plagued with all this sickness and everything. And I got these miserable comforters who come here and they trying to tell me there's something wrong in my life and I've been doing the very best I can. I'm righteous. So he gets his chance to appear before God. So God shows up. And Job chapter 38, God is, I would call it a conversation, but it's really not. When only one person is talking, it's not a conversation. And only God is talking. So God starts off and lays out some things. So I want you to see this in Job 38, verse 31. This is God talking to Job. Canst thou bind the sweet influences of Pleiades or loose the bands of Orion? wait a minute. God says, can you bind the sweet influences of Pleiades or loose the bands of Orion? Isn't that the stars? Oh, wait a minute. God's talking about stars again? Verse 32. Canst thou bring forth Maseroth in his season, or canst thou guide Arcturus with his sons? Arcturus is the constellation as shaped like a bear. But let's talk about Maseroth for a moment. He says, can you bring forth Maseroth? First off, the book of Job is one of the oldest books of the Bible. So in chronological order, it may be the oldest. So why are you saying that? Because notice in one of the oldest books, which could maybe be before Moses ever wrote his first five books, God is talking about the stars. Maseroth, though, canst thou bring forth Maseroth? See, Doug, I found out the word Maseroth is a Hebrew word, and it means zodiac. So you see, God is saying, can you bring forth the 12 constellations like I do? So you see, the zodiac is really created by God, but the enemy stole it and is doing something inappropriate with it. So God's always been speaking from the stars. We simply think, oh, that's that horoscope. Well, it's because of what the enemy has stolen and has tried to make it become now. But God's the creator. And he says, Job, can you bring it forth like I do? Now, you know, of course, after this conversation, well, I'm sorry, knowing it's not a conversation, Job said, I put my hand over my mouth. I'm going to just shut up from now on. I obviously don't know what's going on, which is something good to do when God is talking. Now, let me go on, because the whole point to Job is I've done all of this and more. I want to read something to you from Psalms chapter 19, and I want you to go there with me, because we're saying, you know, should Christians even be concerned with the heavens? But here's God talking about the heavens in what may be the oldest book in the Bible. Psalms chapter 19, verse 1, and let's kind of roll with this. It says, for the choir director, a psalm of David. The heavens proclaim the glory of God. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. The heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display his craftsmanship. Wait a minute. The heavens proclaim God's glory? And you telling me the skies display his craftsmanship? You want to know how skilled God is? Look up. Look up. We're just reading the book now, you know. Day after day, verse 2. Day after day, they continue to speak. Night after night, they make him known. So the heavens consistently speak and make God known. Make God known. I want you to understand what we're reading. God didn't just leave it up to people to make himself known. I know we're going to go slow, because some of y'all are just, it's just like, oh my goodness, I never heard it like this. Well, we're just reading the book. Verse 3, it says, they speak without a sound or word. Their voice is never heard. All speech does not have sound, because the heavens are speaking, making God known. They are declaring or proclaiming his glory. Verse 4, yet their message has gone throughout the earth, and their words to all the world. God has made a home in the heavens for the sun.
So the message of the heavens has been shared to the whole world. We might want to say that for a moment there. Because for all of those people who like to say that, you know, the world can't come to an end till this gospel has been preached to the whole world. And, you know, over there in that little bitty country where all them folks out there, they, you know, they ain't got no internet. They ain't got no TV. They ain't got no radio. But, you know, one of the things that I used to always do when I was in the military, and I didn't know nothing, but I would always be in a foreign country somewhere, and I would come outside and I would look up at the stars. Because I would wonder, if I was at home, would I be able to see this same star from where I'm at? Not knowing that all of those times the heavens was declaring his glory. The heavens or the skies was his workmanship. So no matter where you are, what little discreet corner of the planet you might be on, it is still declaring his glory, because when you look up, he's the one who done all that. All right, all right. Point number three. I don't know what to call this point. No, he ain't in Job no more now. I'm done with that. That was Psalms 19. My point number three, I'm going to just say Revelation 12. That's my point, Revelation 12. Because if you go home, those of you all who are social media people, and some of y'all might be doing it while you're in here. That's for fun. I ain't mad at you. Go ahead. Revelation chapter 12 is the sign that they talking about that's going to happen on September 23rd, 2017. It is probably one of the most big, I promise you, it's going to be on the news. They're going to be covering that. I'm just dealing with it now before we get to September, so I won't have to deal with it, okay? So when you see all the other folks and they talking about it, oh, we already dealt with that, okay? We going on. And the implication is, it's a big sign. Okay, all right, so there's some software called Stellarium that people are looking at to say some different things. But let me get into what the text says, okay? Revelation chapter 12, verse 1. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven. Where is it?
In
heaven. Okay. I told you, God got the whole world looking up. So, you know, if we just had 100 million people looking up at the eclipse. Okay, Revelation chapter 12. Folks going to be looking up again. I mean, September 23rd, they're going to be looking up again. Let me share something about what I mean by looking up. I know some of us are in here going like, I ain't looking at all of that. But there are some people, if the gospel is going to be preached in the entire world, think about this. There are some individuals who don't look at the gospel like you do. I was unaware of how many people are into astronomy until this eclipse came. I mean, you got stars. Oh, and folks are crying while all the darkness passes over. Hello? While all the darkness passes over. I was talking to Donald. He says, and this is good. He says, you got a whole world of folks chasing darkness across the planet. Really? It's so beautiful. It's dark. When does darkness become beautiful? I know, and then there's some people going to be hating on me now because of what I'm saying about the, that's astronomy. Yeah, okay, I'm just saying, it's dark. God is light. In him there is no darkness. Revelation chapter 12, verse 1. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars, and she being with child cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. Now, this has become a really big deal for a lot of folks because it says there appeared a great wonder in heaven. And September 23rd, the constellations line up, according to them, for this to transpire. So, If the constellations line up for this to transpire, what does that mean? It's got to be a sign. That's what people are doing. But I want to ask something a little different today. I want to do this. Has this ever happened before? Let's just kind of look at it. Has this ever happened before? Go with me to Matthew chapter 2. We're going to just see, I'm not an astronomer, but let's talk about the scriptures. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. For all of you all, it never says three wise men. So you could, that nativity scene with the three sitting down there? It's wise men. Now, okay, this is where it gets, let me mess up a little theology for some folks here. You with me, Doug? I can count on you? Okay. The wise men, the word for that is magi. Magi means royal astrologers. So, some royal astrologers saw something. These men were familiar with the stars and the significance of the stars. So they came from the east to Jerusalem because they saw something. Verse 2, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? Why? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. So they saw something. They saw something where? In the heavens. That's what made them come. Verse 7. We're going slow, Doug. You said you was with me. We're going slow. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. Now, wait a minute. They saw it. Herod didn't. When they heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them. So this is a star that, quote unquote, was moving. Till it came and stood over where the young child was. So everybody notice, they saw the star in the east. They came to Jerusalem. When they got to Jerusalem, the star stood over where the child was. Not the baby. Jesus was not a baby when they got there. I know I'm messing up the nativity scene all kinds of ways. Nobody going to even want to put it out no more after this. Well, if we start looking at the truth, it was a child. Not a baby. Because it took them some time to get there. Now, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. So I'm just saying, it's pretty interesting that here's three people who, well, not three people, but here's some people who obviously watched the stars, that saw a star that indicated that there was a king being born in Jerusalem, and the star stood over where the king was born, but people in Jerusalem hadn't seen what they saw when they first saw it and left coming. So what kind of star would show up and then maybe disappear and then move over somewhere? What does that? Read a little bit more. Matthew 24 and verse 14. Are y'all with me today?
Yes.
And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. So the gospel is being preached for a witness. Okay? For witness. We'll just do that again. Still hear some of y'all turning and flipping and stuff. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Now, the word preached means to be a herald. It means to proclaim after the manner of a herald. But there was something about this word that really intrigued me. One of the renderings of the word preached is to publish, to proclaim openly something which has been done. So it's the publishing, it's the proclaiming openly something which has been done. Not something which is going to be done, but something which is done. This is slow so we could all get it. So something is being published that has been done. Revelation chapter 12, let's do that again, verse 1 and 2. It says, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven. Okay, it's a wonder and it's in heaven. It's a woman clothed with the sun. Well, according to the stars and what NASA and these individuals are saying, the constellation Virgo is the woman. Virgo is the virgin. I am not making this up. I'm really not. It says she's a woman clothed with the sun. In that particular time, September 23rd, the sun is going to move into a place where above the head of the constellation, it's round in the shoulder area, the sun will be there. Saying that the virgin will be clothed with the sun. I'm just sharing it. This is out there. Then it says, let's go back to chapter 12, verse 1. So she's clothed with the sun, the moon is under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. Now, I'm trying to report this as best I can. So the moon at that particular time is going to shift into a position that under the constellation Virgo would be down toward her feet. So, I mean, you know, this is, you know, I mean, you can't make this stuff up. But it says she's going to be crowned with 12 stars, right? Now, the constellation Leo is above her head. Now, this is where, stop, Donald, stop. This is where there's some controversy, if you will. Because some people say Leo is made up of 9 stars. Some people say Leo is made up of 10. Some people say Leo is made up of 13. Well, the thing was, is if it's made up of 9, there's going to be 3 other stars that move into that area. Mercury, Venus, and Mars. 9 plus 3. I mean, you know. But now maybe it's not. Maybe it's 9 stars. Maybe it's 10 stars. Maybe it's 13. But I'm just saying, I'm putting it out because I'm not an astronomer. Didn't I say that before? Okay. I gave my out already. But I'm going to show you where I'm going. I'm going to show you where I'm going. Because that's people are debating this. They're going back and forth and all of this, arguing over this stuff. But I'm going to show you what they're missing. What I believe they're missing. You still with me?
Yes.
Let's try verse 2 now. So we got this woman, and, you know, under her feet, on her head is a crown of 12 stars. And she being with child cried. And she being with child. That's interesting. This particular time, Virgo, the woman, the virgin, a planet moves within. This happened in December. The planet Jupiter moved into the womb of Virgo. Jupiter, and this I am not making this up. This is what's amazing. Jupiter is known as the king planet. I kid you not. I kid you not. Now watch this. I said it was being proclaimed. It had to be something that had been done already. Scientists are looking at the fact that the star of Bethlehem that everybody talked about was Jupiter. Because when Jupiter moved into the womb of Virgo, it went into, you ever see somebody at the stoplight and they got them spinning hubcaps?
Yep.
Oh,
wow.
It's called retrograde, where it looks like it's moving one way. Well, Jupiter moved into the womb of Virgo and it was moving and it would go in and out like that. So it looked retrograde. So the star that they saw and then didn't see and then moved again over Bethlehem was in retrograde. Now, wait a minute. Deacon Green, I am not making this stuff up. Guess how long Jupiter is in the womb? About 9 months. Now, folks are arguing over whether she's got a crown above her head or not. So I'm just trying to stay in the book. Now, Jupiter is known as the king planet. Okay, so the virgin gives birth to the King of Kings. And they want to know, does she have crowns or not? Let's step back just for a moment to see maybe if you got everything I was sharing with you. Okay, let's strip away the moon under her feet. Let's strip away the crown above her head. We still left with a virgin with the king in her womb. Has that ever happened before? I do believe we just picked up Matthew chapter 2. When Jesus was born. So do you realize what God is doing is making the whole world look up and see the gospel story on display over and over and over again? Because what he is saying is, listen, it ain't got to be preached by people. I'm going to show you what happened. I'm going to make sure you understand the story. Just because you got a degree in astronomy and you don't read the Bible, I'm going to show you the Bible. I'm going to show you the King of Kings being born from a virgin. Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14 says, a virgin shall be with child. Over 700 years before Jesus was born, Isaiah prophesied about it. And now here we are 2,000 years later and God's still showing the same story. Over and over and over again. Because he's speaking from the heavens about the glory of our God. Now, here's the thing. People are sitting back saying, is this a sign? That's what's getting me. You can argue about the crowns and all of this kind of stuff on what's on her head, what's on her, well, it ain't really this. You know, but what you cannot dispute is Jupiter entered into the womb. A Virgo. That's non-disputed.
Yes.
The king is in the womb.
Yes.
And she's about to birth the king. So they say, does this mean that Jesus is about to come back? Let me tell you what this means to me. I think it's, to me, I'm like, I'm not one of these bright people. It's the gospel. As simple and as plain as ever, it's the gospel. And there's only one way to respond to the sign of the gospel. Repentance. That's it. He preached the gospel in the stars, and now what are people going to do with it? They sitting here talking about, is Jesus about to come back now? This has been playing over and over. It's like God's got it on, he's got it looping. Every 12 years, Jupiter enters in the womb. It's on loop. So you keep seeing it over and over and over. The gospel in the stars. So whether folks want to preach it down here or not, he preaching it up there. And then it's like God saying, well, I'm going to do a couple things up here so they'll look up here anyway. And while they're looking, let me show them something. I got some more stuff, but I am done. I'm going to stop. Because what I want us to leave with is what God's doing in the heavenlies. I want us to leave with the fact that God is still preaching the gospel himself. And it's there for a dying world to see. If God is so concerned that he's willing to take the stars and put them in positions where people can see the gospel, how much more should we be sharing it? Every head bow, eyes are closed. Heavenly Father, I've sought to tell your people about your glory in the heavens. God, to share with your people what I believe you're doing in our midst this day and this time. God, many people are looking for signs of your return. But Lord, you simply admonished us to be prepared, to be ready. God, I pray that if there's anyone here that's not prepared or ready for your return, God, that they're not waiting on some sign in the sky or something to transpire here, but Lord, they would simply hear the voice of our God saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I pray, Lord, today that if there's anyone that is out of right relationship with you, that they would take this opportunity, God, to change what they've been doing and turn and pursue you with their entire hearts. God, even as the heavens bear witness now, God, to what's going on and what you're calling all men, because you said in your word, you commandeth men everywhere to repent. Yes. Father, I pray, give us a heart of repentance in Jesus' name. Listen, if you're here and you don't know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, or you recognize that, listen, I'm out of relationship with God, I want you to know the heavens are testifying against you. Whether you say or do something, the heavens testify against you. God is playing the gospel message over in the heavenlies. You don't have to be lost. All he wants you to do is to accept him and the sacrifice of his son. Do you know how much it would take to coordinate events like this? Only a God in heaven can do this. This isn't man-made. This is God-made. And if God is doing that, he's willing to do this to get your attention, isn't that an indication of how much he really loves you? If you're here and you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, or maybe you recognize, listen, I am out of fellowship. I've strayed away. But after hearing this, I understand God means business. And I want to get it right before it's too late. Listen, if you're here, I'm going to ask you as an indication, just to raise your hand. That's me. I understand my position now. I understand where I'm at with God. I have failed. I have failed him, but I want to get it right while I can. Is there anyone? So I just don't want, I don't want to overlook the moment. I don't want to consider it as something that's not important, because Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you enough to right here and right now be there for you.
Amen. 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 The stars are declaring his glory. The stars. God loves you. He really does. And I don't want any of us to miss out on what God has for us. Is there anyone else? Y'all gonna come stand with Katie? Anybody else? Because I understand this. I'm learning more and more. The love of God, he's going to meet you where you at. For somebody, they're never going to step foot in church. But they're going to look at them stars. I guarantee you, when we get to glory, it's going to be somebody. And they got their, they heard, say, how did you learn to repent? I saw it in the stars. Some of us, we don't see nothing. But God has a way of speaking to everybody. And he's going to get everybody's attention. So I don't know where you at, what your situation is, but I know this, God loves you. And he's willing to do whatever he has to do to get your attention. He loves you that much. That much. He'll move heaven and earth for you. Literally. That's love. Is there anyone else? Glory. Let's put our hands together. Glory. We love you, Katie. Hallelujah. The heavens declare his glory. Hallelujah.